Hey, gorgeous. If you want success on your fertility journey, you've got to have the mindset for it. It's time to kick fear, negativity, doubt, shame, jealousy, and the whole clown car of low vibe fertility journey BS to the curb. I'm your host, Roseanne Austin, Fertility Mindset Master. Former prosecutor and recovering type A control freak perfectionist, I use the power of mindset to get pregnant naturally and have my baby boy at 43, despite years of fertility treatment failure. I help women across the globe beat the odds on their fertility journey just like I did. Get ready for a quick hit of confidence, joy, feminine badassery, and loads of hell yes for your fertility journey. It's time to get fearless, baby. Fearlessly fertile. Let's do this. Welcome to the Fearlessly Fertile Podcast, episode 336, Critical Thinking 101 for Smart Mamas Before, During, and After Pregnancy, a courageous convo with Dr. Larry Pilevsky. Loves, I'm so thrilled because Dr. P is back on the Fearlessly Fertile Podcast. And I invited him back onto the podcast because I thought it was really smart for us to have an update from him about what he's seeing on the front lines in pediatric medicine and children's health. It's such an amazing thing to see somebody with such an extensive amount of experience who can really see the health trends and really see what is critical for mamas who are preparing to get pregnant, women who are pregnant, and then what happens to their children after they're born. Dr. Pilevsky is one of the most beloved pediatricians in all of New York. What I love about Dr. Pilevsky is he's all about critical thinking, empowering families with information so they can exercise informed choices. So often on this journey, we're just ushered into directions, not being given full information about what's right for us, things we should be considering, and truly the pros and cons. Oftentimes when you're in fear, the first thing that you want to do is cling to whatever somebody in a white coat says. But your license and agency is your responsibility. And if you're serious about fertility success, you're serious about the health of your baby, and you're serious about their health long term, you're going to ask questions. And that's why I wanted Dr. Pilevsky back on. He has proven over and over again to be so committed to empowering families with information and choice that I thought he is second to none when it comes to my Fearlessly Fertile community. I want you to all be informed so you can make the right choices for you before your pregnancy, during your pregnancy, and after when you're holding your miracle baby. So here is my conversation with the amazing Dr. P. Dr. P, it is so good to have you back on the Fearlessly Fertile Podcast.
Hi, Roseanne. It's great to be back. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I was just absolutely floored by the response that we had when I had you on a couple years ago, and I thought it was the perfect time to do an update. Okay. And since my audience is comprised of women that are trying to get pregnant, women that are pregnant and are stepping into the next chapter of their lives with a little one, I just thought, when I want to think logically or critically think about medicine and babies, who else do I want to talk to but Dr. P? So why don't you start off, Dr. P, by sharing what's top of mind for you in your field and what's going on with medicine for children right now?
Well, as you probably are aware, because it's in the news all the time, chronic illness in children is an epidemic in our country. And, you know, there are many reasons for that upsurge in chronic illness. And the fact of the matter is that the mainstream medical community does nothing about it other than find one drug after another to treat these kids. But there's no effort that's been made to actually look at what are the root causes? Like, why are so many kids so sick? And, you know, it's almost like we've gotten comfortable with the discomfort. Like, it's just being sick chronically and having kids sick chronically has become a way of life. You know, like the bowl of manure has been poured on our heads and it's dripping down the face. And because everybody else is sitting with the manure down their face. And even though we're wiping it away, and even though it smells and it's disgusting, we're just okay with it. And we just go about our lives accepting it. And the thing is that you know, you look at, you know, Health and Human Services, and you look at the NIH and the CDC and the FDA, and you say to yourself, what in God's name have they been doing all these years? Because look how many kids are chronically ill. And, you know, couples who are having difficulty getting pregnant also face some of the similar problems of toxicity, inflammation, overburdened with stress, as we see in children who are chronically ill. And I think it's time to put the foot on the brake and take the foot off the gas pedal and say, what in God's name are we doing? What choices are we making in our lives, in our lifestyles, that are creating kids with chronic illness? Because it's not given. It's not a fait accompli. It's not something that is a sentence that kids are going to have chronic illness. And we have accepted that as a sentence. And I remember, I'm going to go back, you know, in the mid-90s, early to mid-90s, I remember starting to hear mothers sitting around sharing notes about their children's diagnoses. So, you know, in the old days, you know, we hear that. You'd hear mothers just sitting around talking about their kids and their families and where they went and where they shopped and, you know, their husbands, their aunts, their uncles, their mother-in-laws, their cousins. And you'd hear talk about life. And then all of a sudden, in the early to mid-90s, I started hearing mothers just sitting around talking about their kids' diagnosis. My kid with asthma, and oh, my kid has eczema, and oh, really, my kid is learning disabled, and my kid has juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, and my kid has eczema, and my kid has inflammatory bowel disease. And you started to see that the conversation turned towards the norm of discomfort. And it has just gotten worse over the last 30 plus years. And I think it's time to stop. I think it's really time to say, what the freak is going on? And why are we accepting such chronic illness in our kids?
I think that's actually a really powerful statement about accepting. Why are we accepting this? It's a really interesting thing, Dr. P, because I think what you're raising is a level of responsibility that we have as parents to move to the next level of our own understanding. What do you think?
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was at a medical conference and I get a case report on a child I had in my practice and, you know, what the history was, what the physical was, how I assessed the child, and then, you know, my recommendations. And my recommendations were really what I suggested the parents needed to do for the kid. And I finished the presentation. I sat down and sat next to a pediatrician who I knew. And she looked at me and she said, wow, you really empower the parents in your practice to be responsible and accountable, don't you? And I said, yeah, I mean, it's not my job to fix your kid. It's your kid. You're with your kid 24/7. You know, I don't expect you to just sit back and let my work do its work. And so that's the key, is that we have watched the medical profession and society basically tell people, sit back. You don't have to do anything. We'll do it all for you. And if you run into trouble, we'll save you. And if you need something, we'll rescue you. And if you really need something, we'll give it to you. And so we created this subservient, obedient, entitled population of at least two generations of people who don't know how to wipe their own asses because they need someone to tell them what to do. And the sad part is that we are missing out on some really important healing because we need people to start being accountable. And not blame, responsible, accountable adults who are going to say, yeah, I got to do this for my kid.
It's interesting because that sort of learned helplessness when it comes to nutrition, medicine, self-care, like all of these things, I think that people are starting to ask questions again, which gets me excited because, you know, I'll hear from women in my community, the women that I'm coaching, hey, is there another way to look at this? A lot of crazy things, a lot of crazy shit has happened, Dr. P, since the last time we spoke.
I know.
Are you seeing a little bit more of that, a little bit more curiosity, a little bit more willingness to question the narrative?
Well, it's interesting because here we are in 2025, and I think we did the podcast either in 21 or 22. And
I think it was 21.
Yeah. Over the years, I've had more and more parents come in wanting a broader perspective of care for their children only because COVID woke them up. And so many people were on the mainstream line. And when they saw the tyranny and the lies and the corruption and the evil that was coming out of the COVID era, they woke up and they started questioning things. And so they questioned nutrition, they questioned healthcare, they questioned vaccines, they questioned everything, schooling. And so, in essence, the very thing that the tyrannical despots didn't want to happen is starting to happen because they thought they can control everybody. And what ended up happening is it backfired. And so people are more awake and less subservient and more interested in taking responsibility than they ever expected. So bravo, those evildoers did us a favor.
It's crazy to think of how much has changed, but in a lot of ways, how much has stayed the same.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the vaccine schedule, you look at all these recommendations, you even look at prenatal care, Dr. P. It's like, nobody's talking about nutrition. Nobody's saying, hey, gee, do you really want to get a flu shot while you're pregnant? It's kind of like they're the awake people out there that are asking these questions. But then there's the people that don't even want to really look at that.
Correct.
Or asking questions seems subversive or conspiratorial.
Correct.
But I think that's just common sense and critical thinking.
Right. Well, it's interesting because when I was a kid and when I was training, couples getting pregnant were natural. They were not medical. And over the years, a pregnancy has been medicalized almost to the point where you have a disease that has to be treated with all of these interventions. And you're no longer a woman or a family having a baby. You're just an object that's nursing, you know, you're a childbearing parent, right? You're not a woman pregnant anymore. You're a childbearing person. And, you know, it's become so depersonalized. And yet, you know, there's nothing more sacred. There's nothing more awe-inspiring. There's nothing more wow than watching a baby grow inside a woman's womb and then watching that baby come out as a baby. You know, it's fascinating. And unfortunately, we have convinced couples or just women having babies that they are a disease and they need 50 million sonograms and they need to drink a garbage sugar laden, you know, liquid that's, you know, vomiting. You know, they're convinced that they have to get these injections, which have no safety profiles. And remember, for the women out there who are pregnant or wanting to get pregnant, every one of those shots in the package insert says, these shots have never been tested for carcinogenicity, tumorogenicity, mutagenicity. In other words, not one of the shots has ever been tested to see if they will cause cancer, if they will mutate, if they will cause any major health issue on you or your unborn baby.
That's extremely sobering, Dr. P. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes people are afraid to even consider that. Like, they're just afraid because then they go into this spiral of, like you were talking about earlier, blame. And it's like, no, this information is not about blaming you. Right. It's about empowering you to make decisions that can impact your health and your baby's health. Right. Down the road. As right. women struggling to get pregnant, we cannot afford to be in a place where we just stick our head in the sand and hand over our authority right. and agency to somebody that may not be, and not necessarily intentionally, but just doesn't know better.
Correct. Well, I'll never forget, years ago, I found an article in the literature that showed that when testing a flu shot on a pregnant woman, they did markers of inflammation. They measured markers of inflammation in the mom. And they found that after getting a flu shot, there was evidence of increased inflammation in the mom's body. Now, they didn't measure for how long that inflammation remained, but they definitely showed that there was a marked increase in inflammation. And, you know, if you look at the data in pediatrics, chronic disease is equivalent to chronic inflammation. So, you know, that inflammation is affecting the mother. That inflammation is affecting the baby. Nobody knows for how long, and nobody knows in what part of the baby's body that inflammation is going to be affecting the baby or for how long it will stay. And, you know, I would not want to perpetuate inflammation, knowing full well that when you look at the 1 in 5 children in our country with neurodevelopmental disabilities, many of it is traced back to in utero inflammation. So why would you take that risk at all?
Well, it's interesting, Dr. P, though, because these same women won't touch coffee while they're pregnant. Yet if somebody in a white coat comes over and, hey, let me jab you with this and let me jab you with that, it's for your safety, it's for your baby, you'll be fine. We've been given whatever bazillion number of jabs. Like, they don't even think twice.
Right.
But they won't touch coffee.
It's even worse than that, Roseanne. It's even worse. Your baby could die if you don't get this shot. Or if your family members don't get this shot when they come around the baby after the baby's born, your baby could die, which is not true. It's actually fear-mongering. And, you know, if you actually step back and said to the doctor, tell me, How does the vaccine work? how does it work that I might not be doing something good for my baby? How is it that me getting a flu shot is going to protect my baby? How is me getting a Tdap going to protect my baby? How is me getting a COVID shot going to protect my baby? Can you show me any evidence? No, it's all theoretical.
It's interesting because when you think about that, the very act of asking a question is revolutionary.
Right.
And I think causes a lot of people to get nervous because it's a question of authority rather than just taking this in and doing what you're told. Right. It's like, hey. Yeah. And like, you don't even have to be somebody that's particularly suspicious. You're just saying, hey, show me.
Right. And then what does the doctor say when the couple asks the question? Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how much more condescending can you get? Oh, you're one of those. Oh, so you're one of those who has to sit on a throne and whatever you say has to happen with the papal ring. And no one is allowed to question you because you are almighty what? No.
Yeah. No. Well, and it's like, wait a second. Like, shouldn't this physician-patient relationship be one of collaboration and of, you know, being an equal and being a team in the same, you know, with the same intention of health?
No, because that goes back to what I said before, that medicine, a pregnant woman is now a disease. It's a medical condition. And so you just do what I tell you to do because I know better. Because you have a disease, you have a condition, and you know, you sort of step back and say, you know, how do animals do it? You know, they don't get prenatal care, and they don't get multiple sonograms when they're pregnant, and they don't get someone sticking their hand inside their vaginal canal during the pregnancy. They're not evaluating the sex of the baby before the baby's born. They're not intervening at all.
My eyes have been opened over the years, Dr. P. I had Dr. Stu Fishbein come on to this podcast talking about the medicalization of pregnancy. And it was shocking to me. I was like, who knew? Like, this is not something that people readily discuss. And I really appreciate you having the courage to talk about it here. Think about it. We were talking about 1 in 5 earlier. That's now the number of couples that are struggling with fertility. It's up from 1 in 8 just a few years ago, now to 1 in 5.
Sure. Well, that's a sad, sad state of affairs. But you see, when you create a food system that's full of dyes, preservatives, additives, food colorings, herbicides, pesticides, and foreign material, when you create a medical system that injects toxins and poisons into the body, when you have a society that readily ingests plastics and uses skincare products that are filled with heavy metals, when you allow geoengineering to happen, where you're okay watching aluminum and barium and plastics and parasites and other toxic metals to be sprayed on your society and not do anything about it, when you are okay sitting with your cell phone basically in your mouth and on your breasts and in your pockets next to your testicles or in your back pocket next to your prostate, you're going to wonder why we're not fertile. And when you allow for all the endocrine disruptors that we're exposed to, and you just say, oh, no, it's okay, it's nothing. Well, it makes perfect sense why one in five couples is struggling to get pregnant, because we're doing everything in society to prevent fertility. Mm. We're creating a soil that has a barrier to it. So it's not going to get rain. It's not going to get sun. It's not going to get photosynthesis, right? So we're creating that society. And so why would we have any other outcome?
Right. Well, when people struggle with fertility, the first thing they do is want to run to a doctor. Hey, yeah, no, great. Consult with somebody. That makes sense. But you can't just limit it to, hey, give me a pill, give me some treatment. Like, you got to look at all these other things.
Right. I mean, you know, because you're in it much more than I am in this field, but you know that, you know, a lot of fear and panic go through couples when they're having a struggle conceiving, and they're not going to think that they need to do anything different. They're not, because infertility is also a medical condition. When it's not, it's a lifestyle condition.
And
you
don't
need a medical doctor to brief you on how you may need to change your ways and to recognize that the spirit world, the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, is actually saying to you, there's an obstruction to your desires. Might you want to look at how you're contributing to that obstruction and take responsibility to clear it yourself? Because a medical doctor is not going to tell you why you're infertile, other than to say, oh, you have endometriosis. Well, why do you have endometriosis? Why do you have all this inflammation? Why do you have low sperm count? Right? Why? Well, take your cell phone out of your pocket. Turn the Wi-Fi off, right? Stop using certain chemicals in your lifestyle that are endocrine disruptors, right? Why are you sucking on all this skincare products that are filled with toxic metals? Why are you eating fast food that has minimal nutritional value in it?
Yeah.
Why are you allowing yourself to be 30, 40, 60 pounds overweight when that extra weight is inflammation, period? And, you know, if there's anything that I show parents in my practice is, if your kid is overinflamed, growth and development will slow. So the only way to get growth and development to accelerate is to reduce the inflammation coming into the body, which means you change your diet and your lifestyle and you make different choices.
Yeah.
And so it's no different for trying to get pregnant.
It's this idea that doctor, fix me, please. Yeah. Just fix me. Handing yourself and your license and your agency over to somebody else. I mean, I see this in my practice, Dr. P, like women of all ages who were struggling to get pregnant, even with medical intervention, they start to change their lifestyle. They start to change what they think, and they're getting pregnant naturally at a time when they were told that that was not possible.
Correct, because what they're doing is creating a fertile environment. They're actually creating a soil that is welcoming life. Again, if you're not eating real food, then you're not eating life. If you're ingesting lots of toxic air, then you're not welcoming life. If you're using skincare products that are toxic, you're not welcoming life. If your thoughts are constantly negative and cruel, and you're not creating relationships, then you're not creating an environment for life. If you're married to someone who you really don't love, but you want to get pregnant anyway, that makes sense why you would not be fertile.
You're hitting the nail right on the head, Dr. P. And people don't want to hear that, though. It's like, but your body knows. Your body knows when you're in a...
Hear it. It's okay that they don't want to hear it. It is. I mean, you know, you're available to those who are curious. You know, you're available to those who have the humility to self-reflect. You're there for people who really want to do the work. You can't make people do the work.
Nope.
You know, I mean, there are many, many times where I offer the information to people and they just say, that's too hard. And I respect that. I do. I respect it. It wouldn't be my choice for me, but that's okay because I'm not living their life. They're not living my life. But ultimately, I have to respect people's choices. It's their journey. And so
100%.
You can only reach those who want to look at what you're saying or what I'm saying and say, huh, wow, I wonder if there's truth in that.
I think that's the state of where we are in healthcare, is we have to be willing to seek the truth. At some point, we have to ask, is this actually true?
Well, we don't have to, but we have faith that more and more people will.
If you're serious about your health, if you're serious about your fertility, I'm sorry. I will join and stand with Dr. P. You got to be willing to have the humility to take a look and see what's really going on. Because how else do you explain that? Like, how else do you explain women getting pregnant, you know, naturally at ages that they were told were impossible, if there wasn't something more than just a pill or a treatment or something else?
Right. And you know that when a couple goes to a medical doctor and says, you know, we were having trouble conceiving and, you know, we changed our diets, we lost weight, we changed our skincare products, we changed our detergents, we turned the Wi-Fi off in our house, we got the cell phones out of our rooms, we no longer put the devices on our bodies, we had the home inspected for mold, we had the home inspected for too many electromagnetic fields, and we got pregnant and we're so excited. And the doctor will look at you and say, oh, okay, so let's start your prenatal care. The doctor is not going to say to you, that's interesting. What do you think helped? Or why do you think you finally got pregnant? The doctor's going to either say, let's just move on. Or, well, I don't think what you did had anything to do with you getting pregnant, but congratulations and let's move on.
Or the even worse, Dr. P, the most insulting thing ever, the most diminishing thing ever, you just got lucky. Yeah. Or sounds like you got lucky.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got lucky. That's what it sounds like. It's so amazing. I mean, I'll never forget. I started doing more holistic work in the late 90s. And when I went into practice full time doing it in 2000, I would see kids in my office in New York City who used the pediatricians that trained me in residency in New York. And they would come to me for a consult because their kids had some chronic illness. And I would make diet and lifestyle changes, maybe add some supplements, and the kids' conditions would improve. And they wouldn't have them anymore. And the parents would tell the pediatricians who trained me in pediatrics and residency what had happened. Oh, we saw Dr. Pilevsky and, you know, we're really happy and my kid no longer has blank. And the pediatrician would not want to know what I did. They just said, okay, I don't want to know. They actually said that. I don't want to know. And that hasn't changed, Roseanne. And a couple of years ago, I had an 11-year-old boy who was hospitalized for wheezing. And we were struggling to figure out why he kept wheezing. And the mother said to the doctor in the intensive care unit, don't you think we should try to figure out why he keeps wheezing? And the doctor looked at the mother and said, no, because it wouldn't change my treatment anyway.
Wow.
So medicine is still the same. And why we're in the place of chronic illness, which does include infertility, is because we don't care about root cause. We don't care about looking under the rock. We're just going to push you into the place of getting pregnant, even if you're not in the healthy place to get pregnant. And that's the tragedy of the work that you, some of your families are faced with, because they might get pregnant if they're not able to get pregnant because of what the doctor did with all the injections and the medications and the harvesting. But what health do you have to bring in a baby if you didn't do anything to shift the increased inflammation and problems you were faced with, which were causing you to be struggling to get pregnant?
That's why I tell women all the time, Dr. P, I'm like, struggling with fertility is the best damn thing that could have happened to you.
Yeah.
It is one of the greatest gifts. I mean, it was one of the greatest gifts in my life. I mean, my little boy, like, absolutely required me to become a different person before he came. This insane thing, Dr. P, is nobody was pointing any of these things out to me. Mm-hmm. I had to find out the hard way, which is why I coach women now. I'm like, hey, it took me 7 years to figure this out. People, let me share some of what helped me, because nobody was looking at my lifestyle as a prosecutor, working 80-hour weeks, living on caffeine, not exercising, getting no sunlight. I can't even imagine where my vitamin D was at the time.
Well, again, modern medicine isn't based on looking at root cause, right? I mean, maybe they'll find out that the sperm is not mobile. And maybe they'll find out that there is some endometriosis. Or maybe they'll find out that there's azoospermia, so there's not enough sperm. And those you can really do something about.
Yeah.
But so many men and women have infertility of unknown origin, right? And so then what, right? I remember I started medical school in 1983, and I remember the first day of medical school, the dean introduced himself to the class of 1987. And maybe within the first few sentences, he said the following: nutrition is not a field of medicine. And I don't know why I remembered it, because at the time, I didn't know anything that nutrition was a field of medicine at all. But I just remember hearing him say that. And I thought, wow, why would he say that? And then as I became a physician, I realized, yeah, that's the way medicine is practiced and still practiced today. Nutrition is not a field of medicine. And if you go to a pulmonologist, if you go to an ear, nose, and throat doctor, if you go to a dermatologist, a gastroenterologist, they'll all tell you food has nothing to do with your health. And I would look at them, which I often do, Roseanne, because, you know, I'm a New Yorker and New Yorkers sometimes have some sarcasm. And I would say, really? So if you bring your car to me and your gas tank is empty, I can fill it up with anything as long as it's full? And then, of course, they backtrack and say, no. Oh, so you're saying that you have to put a certain type of liquid in the gas tank for the car to run, right? But it's irrelevant what kind of material you put into the human body to get it to run? You're killing me here. And that's where we are. But that's where we are. It doesn't matter what you put in your body, because we'll give you the drugs and we'll pump you up to get you pregnant.
It's funny, Dr. P. I was treated at a top 10 teaching hospital, and not one person was at all concerned about my stress level. They weren't at all asking me anything about lifestyle. In fact, I remember asking the sweet man that was my physician at the time. I said, "Hey doc, you know, I'm working like 80 hours. I feel tense all the time. Do you think this could have anything to do with what's happening?" He just kind of blew it off. He's like, "No, the data doesn't show that."
The data.
He's like, "The data doesn't show that." And now I know, now I would say, "Well, but who funded that? Who funded that study?"
Right.
And who gains by not empowering women with the information that says, yeah, I mean, there's actually, I just double checked last night in preparation for our conversation. There are 39 published studies right now, readily available, showing the impact of stress and mindset on conception.
Correct. Just 39? There should be 339 billion.
Well, wait, but see, that's the thing is, like, we've been taught, Dr. P, to disregard anecdotal data, right? Anecdotal information. We all know somebody who stopped stressing out, stopped, you know, got out of a bad relationship, stopped being so negative and doubtful, and then gets pregnant like the next try.
So the thing is that when a doctor says that, the doctor is completely foregoing the entire medical education that the doctor received, because it's straight up physiology.
Right.
If you're stressed, you have increased levels of cortisol. If you're stressed, you have increased level of adrenaline. If you're stressed, you have increased levels of inflammation. Period. That summary is the definition of fight or flight. That's the definition of survival mode. That's the definition of running out of a burning building. Who gets pregnant when you're fleeing, when you're fighting, when you're freezing? Because that's part of the fight or flight or freeze. How can you get pregnant? You're not able to, because you need the exact opposite: hormones. You need a drop in cortisol. You need a drop in adrenaline. And you need a lowering of inflammation in order to create fertile ground. You need that physiology and that biochemistry in order to bring an egg and a sperm together to implant, because you can't get pregnant in survival mode.
I see this all the time. What you're saying is correct. What I hear people say is the counter to that is, how do you explain all these druggies having babies all the time?
Well, and I'm relaxed. Like,
yeah.
No, they're relaxed. They're completely relaxed. I mean, most of those drugs just make them chill. They're relaxed.
And they're not worried about their fertility.
No. No, yeah. In fact, they're having sex so they can get their next fix.
Yeah, the world at times, Dr. P, feels like it's upside down.
It is. It is.
Yeah, it yeah. Is. I really hope that this conversation, like our last conversation, that it's really going to inspire the women listening, as, you know, before they get pregnant, while they're pregnant, and as new moms, to really like think critically, ask questions, don't just read headlines.
Right. I mean, if you are a couple who is wanting to get pregnant, I would say the following. Truly look at your relationship. Is this a relationship you really want? Is this a connection that's working? Are you really able to receive each other's heart? Are you able to see your partner's world through his and her eyes? Are you able to connect and relate and be vulnerable with each other, hear each other, take care of each other? Because that will help grow a fertile environment. And are you stressed? Are you not sleeping? Are you not taking care of yourself? Are you not getting into nature? Are you not breathing? Are you not breathing clean air? Are you not paying attention to your physical body, your temple, right? Your sacred temple. Are you feeding your body with information that is detrimental to your health? Are you overindulging on information? Are you stressed to the point where there's adrenaline and survival mode going on, where you will not have a fertile environment for getting pregnant? And are you eating real food? Because the body is made up of proteins, fats, carbohydrates, vitamins, minerals, and water. And are you putting the right ingredients into the body to make the body run correctly? Are you putting 5 gallons of water, 3 gallons of juice, 4 gallons of Gatorade, 3 gallons of milk into the gas tank of your car and expecting it to run? And so these are opportunities. I see something like infertility as an opportunity to grow and learn and to be accountable and responsible and to take the bull by the horns and say, I need to look at my life. I need to look at my thoughts. I need to look at my lifestyle, my diet, my habits, my medical choices. I need to look at my relationships. I need to look at who I am and am I being who I really am? And then see what it is that I can do to get myself in alignment with my truth and my authenticity.
Mm. That is so beautifully said, Dr. P, and I really appreciate you. And I'm so grateful that you came back on with us, because I think that the women listening are really going to appreciate this reminder and this, and really looking at where we are today and giving ourselves another set of tools, another set of questions that we can ask, because ultimately you see the end product, you see these children, and I think that you have a unique perspective and a unique authority about the end product that I think, you know, you see the result of this. You see healthy, happy babies, you see people healing themselves, healing their relationships and healing their lives. So thank you so much for coming back.
Oh, pleasure. I loved it. Thank Roseanne. And good luck to all the couples. I hope and I have faith that if it's right for you to bring a new baby into the world, it will happen. And hopefully you will partner in that opportunity and not just outsource it to some medical facility that's going to make it happen for you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Dr. P.
Keep up the good work. Thanks, Roseanne.
Thank you. Loves, wasn't my conversation absolutely eye-opening with Dr. Pilevsky? We talked about it all. Children's health, fertility, what we can be doing to improve our chances, and most importantly, the power of asking questions. So if you love Dr. P, want to learn more about his practice, want to get your kids going to Dr. P, go to drpilevsky.com. You'll see this linked in the show notes. He's a wonderful human being, so kind and so committed to families winning in life and in their health. Now, if you want me to help you start thinking like a woman who succeeds on this journey and thinking like a miracle mama, go to www.frommaybetobaby.com. As you can see from my conversation with Dr. P, your mindset, the way that you live, the choices that you make, can take you way beyond the limits of fertility medicine. Let us help you. Go to www.frommaybetobaby.com. Till next time, change your mindset, change your results.
Love this episode of the Fearlessly Fertile podcast? Subscribe now and leave an awesome review. Remember, the desire in your heart to be a mom is there because it was meant for you. When it comes to your dreams, keep saying hell yes.